current events,
personal values,
political and social issues,
technology, wars, and tensions.
Join us for the next hour to discuss and learn how the things happening in our world today point to God's Word as signs of the times.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome into Signs of the Times. It's our weekly look at Bible prophecy in the world's news for Friday, November 1st, 2019. Along with Pastor Mark Kirk, I'm Greg Hilt. Thanks for joining us for the first episode in the month of November as we scream towards the end of 2019. And as every day passes, more prophecy comes to pass.
You're not kidding.
And a lot of it we're going to discuss today in episode 99 for you podcasters. Now, yesterday, the world celebrated Halloween.
Yep.
However, 500 years ago, that holiday, so to speak, did not exist. But I'm going to tell you what happened yesterday, 500 years ago, that had a direct impact on us today. Priest and scholar Martin Luther nailed his 95 theses to the door of the Castle Church in Wittenberg, Germany, in 1517, lighting the flame for what is called the Reformation or the Protestant movement.
Right.
Correct?
Correct.
Yeah. There you go. So.
That's cool.
That's something really good that happened on October 31st.
Yeah, he's come up twice. I've actually got a quote from Martin Luther for this Sunday. So
okay.
There's Martin Luther.
There you go. It's Martin Luther week.
Yeah.
Okay.
Great.
Fantastic. Well, that's all I got, really.
Oh, that's okay. I'm waiting. You never know.
You know, pregnant pause, I got nothing. But,
all right.
But you've got a lot today.
Well, I do.
And so we're going to get right into it because we're going to talk about something prophetic that all of us use, and I wouldn't say all of us, I will say most of us use, most of us love, and most of us love it for various reasons, and that is the use of technology. Now, whether that technology is radio or TV or personal tech, like our cell phones or computers or wearable tech, like Fitbits or smartwatches.
It's in clothing too now. Did you know that?
Yeah.
You can buy clothing that have chips in it to keep up.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they put chips in shoulder pads for NFL players so they can see how fast they're running on the field.
Wow.
So they can say, oh, yeah, he was going 22 miles.
Uh-oh. We got mic issues over there. Looks like I may be announcer and.
Yes.
You're right. We do. We have chips in everything. We have chips in our clothing, our and now they're talking about chips in our bodies. We've talked about this for years. The Bible talks about it. In Revelation, the mark of the beast. It says that when this world leader, the Antichrist, comes on the scene, he is going to make everybody small and great take a mark on their hand or their forehead. And it's going to be really amazing because this mark, whatever this is, going to be no doubt connected somehow to computer technology. But it's going to be quite amazing because it not only is so that he can keep up with us, he'll be able to, you can't get away. He'll know where everybody is. You literally, a lot of us think you turn your phone off, they can't track you. They can. When your iPhone's off and even your Samsung is off, all right, you're being tracked. There's never a time you're not being tracked.
Right.
Well, now it's going to be even worse. Well, I'll leave my phone at home. It doesn't matter. If you have the mark of the beast in your hand or your forehead, it will go with you everywhere. And there no doubt will be no way to remove it, even surgically, without it being detected. So you'd be in trouble.
Yeah.
And I find it interesting. Again, it's going to be a way to keep up with us, but it's also going to be a way, Greg, to keep all of our records. They will know everything about us. They will know not only everything about us factually, like, where we are, who our friends are, where we live. They will know our medical information. It will monitor our bodies. Everything about that will be monitored. And so the technology behind it, and plus this is interesting to me. As you can see, I'm getting some really good stuff in while you're making sure your mic works. But this is not filler.
Okay,
this is good stuff. Okay, this is the meat stuff here.
Yes,
that we're talking about. But the bottom line is that not only is he going to be able to keep up with us and watch over us and monitor everything, this is going to be something where again, like I said, medical records, which is going to tie into the first article we have here, which is going to tie into really the way the world's going to be organized in the last days, and we can see it heading that direction. So I want to now let you get back to introducing our first article. Here.
Well, and this article really sets the stage for what you're wanting to talk about.
Yeah.
And this article is dated October 26th from harbingersdaily.com.
Right.
And it talks about transhumanism, which I've never heard that term before.
Oh, yeah.
But it's called the original lie, the race for man to become as gods.
Yeah, this is interesting because what's going on here, it's the combining of humans and computer technology, which is kind of the sci-fi of the past, but is now becoming the reality of our generation. BBC recently, the article says, released a 6-minute segment on the transhumanism movement, posing this question: is this the next phase of human evolution? And I quote, "It's been argued that humans are no longer evolving," the video caption reads, "but now a growing number of people are integrating technology directly into their bodies." And by the way, people are already putting them in themselves, some of these geeks, so they can open their own doors and, their car doors and do stuff at home. They're already experimenting with this stuff themselves. Kevin Warwick, a professor of cybernetics, defines transhumanism as taking humans as we are and moving us forward, linking humans with technology. He said we would call it post-humanity as well. Within the video, four men who are either heavy advocates for transhumanism or have taken steps in experimentation with transplanting, that is, linking technology within their own bodies, are interviewed. The overwhelming theme is that through the merging of the technology, we can become, note this is their words, and I quote, as gods. Now, there's so much to get back to. We'll get back to that, but when we talk about human enhancement, he says, or they say, it's the mind enhancement that is the most interesting part, said Andrew Vladimirov. See, there's the Russia connection, a transhuman, just joking, but transhumanists, they're everywhere. The Russians are everywhere. Guard your children. Transhumanism and a doctor of neuroscience. Some people think we shouldn't do it because we shouldn't play God, while becoming God was the aim of any hero cult, Egyptian funerary practices, and so on, and they were all dedicated to one aim, becoming gods. Now, again, you look at the technology here. I used to wonder, how's this technology going to work? 100 years ago, if you read that we were going to take a mark of the beast, well, what would that be? And what good would that do? And now we know computer. It'll do a lot of good. Again, tracking us in every way, knowing our bodies, knowing where we are. And I even find it interesting where it says the Antichrist will put it on the head, the forehead, or the hand. Because, again, when God marked his believers, and by the way, Christians, you have a mark on you. You're marked. The Bible says we're marked. We're sealed with the Holy Spirit. And it would appear that it's a visible mark in the spiritual realm, not in the physical, but in the spiritual realm. When God sends angels to judge Jerusalem through one of the prophets, he sends the angels to put the mark of God on their foreheads so they don't get judged. And they get the mark of God on their foreheads. Now, whether they just got that mark for that judgment or whether we all get it, we'll find out. But we do know that some scripturally got a mark on their forehead, which is interesting to me. Satan, the great imitator, what does he do? Well, I'm going to give a mark, and I'm going to put it on your forehead as well because I'm God, all right? Then we talk about the technology needed when it says he's going to set up an image of himself in the third temple. And with it, how in the world could he set up an image? It says that will speak and breathe.
Right.
And, again, I just recently, took a trip down to Florida and popped into Universal one day and rode some of the rides. And I'm telling you, this is just basic technology now where these things look like they're breathing and speaking. I rode through one of the Disney rides. I popped over to Disney and rode through one of the rides. And they have now, I guess what they do, Greg, and I don't know how long it's been since you've been there, but it's really quite amazing. Some of their characters they have. Some of the characters they have, I didn't have the mic properly. I was just rebuked. That's all right. That's okay.
Silently
you
for you.
No, but I tell everybody. This is family. They're invited into the studio. They're invited into our lives. This is not some behind the door. Look, we're not politicians having private meetings two stories down. Out in front of everybody. I was like, I got to get away from this.
You've been out watching a lot of
news. I got to be careful. Let's get back to the point here. All right. So anyway, they have these blank faces. I don't know what they're made, what kind of material they use, but they have these high-tech laser HD cameras that put the images of the the people on there, and they're actually talking and moving and doing their little songs, and it looks like they're really there talking and doing it. I mean, it's amazing. I was like, I looked at it going, this is really cool. They actually, it's not like, you know, they go, hi, I am President Lincoln, and you are, and we, and, you know, and this kind of thing, right? Where they're moving and turning, and you're like,
yes.
But no, this is like, okay, that Disney character's looking at me and having a conversation, and I know it's just a blank face on there, and they're doing this all with laser technology. I mean, I figured it out, but I'm like, that's pretty amazing. And as a kid, again, it would just be awesome. Pretty cool as an adult, but as a kid, when I look at this technology and I see what they're doing, you can see how the image, the Mark of the Beast could work in tracking everyone. The image could be used there on the Temple Mount. It could easily be a thing where the Antichrist goes, okay, world, I have another announcement. I'm going to communicate with you. And he doesn't have to be there. He can be anywhere and just either a hologram, okay, or an actual image that, you know, and I would assume it's an, you know, it could be an actual image itself. He talks about an image. You know, I guess you could get by with a hologram as an image. Either one will give you images. Kind of like the Obi-Wan Kenobi, you know, type thing.
Yeah, exactly.
And
yeah.
They literally have that now. Or the kind of thing where the Disney thing where his face is on there with this high technology and you're hearing him talk to you and the image breathes and speaks and you're like, how in the world can that happen? And I've seen it now. It's truly, truly amazing. But getting back to this article, and,
yes.
And don't worry, all my thoughts, I'm on track.
Oh, no, I know
you are. I haven't wavered.
I have no doubt.
And again, they said they can be as gods. This is interesting because, again...
That goes right back to Genesis.
Exactly. What does it say? And I want to read this to us in Genesis 3 and then get to some of what's going on in the modern pop culture,
and,
so to
and
speak.
Also, you're going to go to Daniel, too.
Oh, yes.
Correct?
Oh, yes. We're going to finish in Daniel 12. So the serpent was more cunning, Genesis 3, than any beast which the Lord had made, and said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Now, God didn't say that. God said you could eat of all of them, just one you couldn't. But he makes it sound like she's missing something. And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. Okay, right there. Direct lie, direct confrontation to the word of God. You won't die. God said it, but you really won't die. So don't worry about it. No big deal. And again, he was speaking about physically and spiritually. They died immediately spiritually when they ate of the fruit. And then, of course, they died. They started the process of the aging where physically now that kicked in as well. But again, this was, again, a lie spoken directly to her. But here's what he says, and this is interesting. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, that is, you increase your technology. She's going to go to the tree of knowledge of good and evil, as you expand your borders technologically, mentally, whatever type thing, in areas where God says you don't need to go, he said, then you shall not eat of it or touch it unless you die. God knows in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God. Now, again, the Mormons have been saying this for years.
Mm.
You can be a God.
Good point. Yeah.
And so, but anybody that says you can be a God, that is the original lie of the serpent. Now, look at where Satan is leading us in our culture today, getting us ready for the Antichrist, who, by the way, is going to declare he is God. And I don't think I don't know that he's going to say he is a God. Maybe he will. Maybe he'll say Jesus was a God and I'm a God. I think he's going to say I'm God and greater than Jesus. I mean, I think this is going to be Satan beginning to speak through him and exalt himself even above all that is called God, it says in Scripture. So he'll be declaring that he's God. You think, how in the world could a culture believe that? How in the world could a culture say, you know, some guy says he's God and we're going to buy into that? Greg, it comes over a period of time of mind training and laying a foundation. If you want the next generation, you get the children. Satan has always known that. Hitler knew that. Hitler said, if you give me that generation of children, I will have Germany be mine. And they were. He got the kids in school. He started teaching them what he wanted. He got them right where he wanted them to be. And then they were all his. And so the next generation, the older generation gone. And now he's controlling things. This whole people can be gods. It's happening more than I think many of us realize. Now, when I say this, so the millennial generation, and if we got any Gen Zers listening, they're going to get this as well. There is nothing wrong in a Marvel movie and these guys that are supposed to be these pretend gods and it's all make-believe having fun. As long as you understand it's a Disney, it's a Marvel movie and they're having, it's like, come on, you're whatever.
Yeah.
But that's what these Marvel movies are doing. What they have done is, I remember the first one that came out, I remember when Thor came out. And I've never even seen Thor, I don't think. I've never even seen Iron Man. So you can probably throw things at me through the radio, but I've never seen them. But the point is... they were, the whole point is, you're a god. You're a man, but you're also a god. And this, and they played off the whole Greek mythology, you know, Thor and all these other guys. And if you go back and look at some of the names of these, you know, for the movies, I don't know if the millennials or Gen Zers all know that. They probably do if they're freakazoids about it, because they really get into it. Either way, they're pulling names from these, all these mythological gods and all these things, and working them together. And even, I think even some biblical intermingling on certain things, trying to kind of mix it together. But the point is, they are normalizing that there could be super beings other places. And although we know it's all make-believe, at least we do, those of us that are in the generation just beyond the millennials, and I'm not in any way insulting millennials or Gen Zers. I'm not saying they're not smart. Matter of fact, the Gen Zers and the millennials are probably way smarter than we are in many ways because of technology and the things at their fingertips. So this is not about intellect. This is about deception. And I think that what's happened is, when you grow up in an environment where it's kind of just a part of your normal life, this is how everything is. And then people start giving it credence where, you know, maybe one day we can become transhumanoid, kind of mixture or whatever. Then you begin to think, maybe these things, maybe we could be like God.
Yeah.
And Greg, he's getting our culture back around to this. Even if we couldn't be that, if some guy shows up on the scene and he's got these supernatural abilities, look, this is interesting to me. The first one was Thor. I guess Iron Man was the first to come out. Then Thor came later or whatever. Okay. It's interesting. Thor, Thor's superpower is the lightning bolt, calling down lightning. He'll look back mythologically. That's what he does.
Right.
When the Antichrist comes on the scene, one of his powers is going to be what?
Calling down lightning.
Calling down lightning, Revelation says. So to think that, well, Thor did that. This guy now, he's a supernatural something. He's calling down. And I think it's going to be almost like, it is real. There are superhuman beings that can actually do these things, and maybe that's where mythology came from. Maybe these were real beings that were from other planets or somehow had this power before our time, and it was written down, and we see it today as mythology, but it was real, and this guy proves it. You can see how the next generation coming up could look to somebody like that and say, you know what, maybe this is real. Our generation would go, okay, wait a minute. Nobody calls down lightning, right, from heaven, except the you know, the power man when he falls from the ladder. You know, then everybody's jumping out of the way, right? Yeah. But this guy's going to really do this with supernatural power, and I think it's going to be used by Satan. Again, that whole lie that you can be like God, he said he's going to claim that he is God and use it through technology and some of these other means. So I'm watching this whole thing unfold, and really the training of the world's mindset is what I would, there's this brainwashing going on that if you don't know the word of God, you're going to fall right into it.
You know, I don't know. I mean, I'm not saying that it's not brainwashing, Pastor Mark, but what I'm noticing is the fact that the world is not telling the full story.
Right.
Meaning the world is, you know, talking about mythology and what we've always viewed as entertainment.
Right.
But because the word of God is being suppressed and is being oppressed in a sense, and even we can look in our country and taking the Bible and prayer out of public schools since the 1960s.
Right.
There's nothing out there to balance fantasy with reality.
Yeah.
And the reality
is
that we've got one true living God.
Yeah.
And he created this earth. He created us. He is the ultimate designer. But if you don't have that knowledge, I think because of our DNA, because of how God's created us, that we are naturally going to gravitate towards things like Thor, towards things that are greater than us,
right?
Because we're designed to worship.
Yeah.
And if we're not worshiping the one true living God, we are going to find something someone to pour and devote ourselves into.
That's right.
I think that's what we're seeing in the culture today.
I think you're right. Remember, worship doesn't mean you're singing songs to God or going to church.
Yeah,
maybe watching movies.
Yeah.
Marvel movies. And again, I'm not picking on watching movies.
No.
Everybody knows it's okay. There's no judgment here on that. I have seen some of the other Marvel movies. It's not that I'm so righteous. I just didn't see them.
Right.
But the point is, I'm saying, is that you're exactly right. There's a mindset being created that is opening us up to extraterrestrial as well as powers beyond ourselves that aren't God. A replacement. And remember, the Antichrist doesn't just mean against God.
Instead of.
it literally means instead of God.
Yes.
The Antichrist, it means instead of God. Now, it also means in place of, but it means instead of. So he's going to show up as an instead of God. and this transhuman or whatever they're going to think he is. I don't know if they're going to think he's a mixture of something or whatever the case might be. It is interesting. He will be. There will be an assassination attempt against him where he'll go blind in his right eye and his right arm will wither. You know, are they going to put him back together like the Bionic Man? And I don't know. I mean, who knows? We'll see how all this, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like,
yeah.
I want to speak to the lid, or whatever, you know, this kind of thing. And you have to be old enough to know those sounds. You are. You know those sounds.
Okay? I know.
Nobody else. Anyway. But the bottom line is this is I'm watching a whole culture be molded and shaped into this. And the enemy using technology. Now, you say, all right, well, okay, the mark of the beast. How could that be used to know things about us beyond our location? Understand, there's technology now, health technology, that's monitoring our bodies through our devices.
We've had pacemakers for decades.
Yeah, yes, and now you have phones and iWatches. Is it iWatch? They don't call it the iWatch, do they?
What's Apple Watch.
Yes. Yeah, so why didn't they
Apple
call it
Watch.
What a dumb name. Why didn't they stick with their plan?
I think they're trying to get rid of the iPhone,
the
Apple.
iMac, the iPad, and the Joe. Here's Joe. It's like naming everybody in your family with a T and having like Eddie.
Well, it's
why do you have everybody T and here's Eddie?
Well, it's a low-cost version.
Yeah, either way. All right. I look at these things and go, who thought of that? Either way, the bottom line is the Apple Watch.
Yes.
It monitors all your health things, your heart rate, your this, your that.
Yes.
And understand this. You know, we are heading toward a socialistic world. I'm not saying we're giving in. I'm saying we're heading that direction.
Well,
it's going that way.
Right. Doesn't the Bible pretty much indicate that in Revelation, the world's going to look like?
Right, exactly. Yeah. And here's the bottom line. Your Apple Watch is keeping up with your heart rate, your health things, your monitoring. So those of you that are punching in information in your phone, you think, well, that's mine. Nobody else knows that. I don't have to worry about that. When universal health care is enacted, and it will be, they've already said there won't be enough money to treat everyone. They've admitted that. I remember Sarah Palin got attacked because she called them death panels, deciding who would get surgery and who wouldn't.
Yeah.
And because she used a harsh term. There literally was in the writing what
death
she
panels.
Called death panels, but they were basically panels who decided who would live or die. They were just offended when she came out and called it what it was. It was a death panel. And it's still, when you look at these universal healthcare things, they have in these writings written in death panels, but they don't call them that. They call them these, I don't know the official name, but there are panels that decide we only have a limited amount of money, who are we going to let get surgery, and who are we not going to let get surgery. If you're a 22-year-old college student and you've got something that can be fixed, they're going to get you fixed because you've got a long life and you'll be productive for society. If you're an 80-year-old who's got prostate cancer or something else and think, we're not going to pay the money for that because you're going to die anyway. Come on, you're 80. How long are you going to be around? We're not going to waste the money. And it's not necessarily to be mean. It's reality. If you do universal health care, it's like any socialism. There's not enough money to do what everybody says you can do. It will run out. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, why is that interesting? Your Apple Watch, ladies and gentlemen. Drum roll, please. No, don't do a drum roll. But either way.
All right.
You could have. I know.
I could have.
Listen.
All right.
Your watch is monitoring your health, and it's recording it. And a tech correspondent on Fox News today, if you were watching earlier, or maybe you saw it, said that there are those keeping those records. The government knows, is your heart good or bad? The government knows, this and that. I mean, they're like Santa Claus. They know if you've been sleeping. They know if you've been awake. They know if you've been bad or good, so it'll be good for government's sake. All right? They know.
Okay.
They know. And so the point is this. With that technology, and she made some points saying, yeah, but you have to be a super hacker to get that. Don't tell me the government can't get into our information and get that. And what happens is, after you've been storing for 10 or 15, 20 years, all your information on your Apple Watch and your phone and all your other technologies, okay? And I used to have this thing, what calorie count or whatever, and they know whether you're losing weight or gaining weight. They know all that. What's your health? They know so much about us. Universal healthcare kicks in, and they look and go, you know what? You've been struggling with your weight now, Mr. Kirk, for about 15 years. You've been up and down. I see here that your heart rate has not been where it needs to be for the last, 10 years. You've had high blood pressure, and none of this is true about me. I am a picture of health. Just kidding. I'm being silly. That was a joke. We all have our issues, but I'm making a point. I don't have high blood pressure. I'm using an example. So all that happens, and then I have to get a surgery that's going to, cost $200,000. And they say, you know what? We're just going to give you a pill and make you comfortable, and give you some hospice care. And you got about 6 months. It won't be bad because you'll be like out of it. There'll be morphine, whatever you need, and you'll die a peaceful life, whatever. Whereas if you could have gotten the surgery, you maybe lived another 10 years, 15 years. But you know what? We already see your information from your Apple Watch and from your iPhone and from your calorie counter thing and blah, blah, blah. So we're not going to do that. This is where it's going. Now, again, the Bible said in the last days, and we can squeeze this in real quick. By the way, I was joking about
you got
picture
less than
health.
Five
I said
minutes
I was kidding. It was a joke. And we need a laugh track that I can hit when I make a joke so everybody knows I'm kidding. But yes, listen to what it says in Daniel about the last days. The Bible says in the last days, knowledge will increase. Exactly what the Lord said would happen is happening. He says at the last days, Daniel, he says, Michael shall stand up, the great prince, the angel who stands up to watch over the sons of the people of Israel. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never been since there was a nation, even to that time. At that time, your people, the Jews, shall be delivered. Everyone who's found written in the book of God. And many of those who sleep, that is, are dead, shall awake. Some to everlasting life, some to everlasting shame and contempt. Judgment. In other words, those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, that is the believers. Those who turn many to righteousness will be like the stars forever and ever. But you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. See, we didn't know what all this meant until we got to the time of the end. This is another sign we're in the time of the end, because now technology is exploding, which he said at the time of the end, you would see this technology explode and you'd have greater understanding.
Yes.
In prophecy and in technology. He goes on and says, many shall run to and fro and knowledge shall increase. It has exploded in our generation.
Yes.
Listen, the first iPhone, you ready for this, ladies and gentlemen? The first iPhone, 2007. Now, for those of us that are a little bit older, that shocks us, blows our mind. If you're younger, you're like, yeah, okay, that didn't seem that long. It just happened. I mean, it seems like I've been living on the iPhone for 60 years, and I'm not 60 yet.
That's a good point.
But
yeah.
2007, this has exploded, okay?
Yes.
So the knowledge, all this had to be in place for the mark of the beast, everything that we're talking about to take place. And he said, and I, Daniel, looked, and there stood two others, one on this side of the riverbank, one on the other. Again, it talks about this man clothed. Well, I won't read all that now for time's sake, but he says this.
That's okay.
All this will be closed up until the time of the end. Then in verse 9, and he said, Daniel, go your way, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Many shall be purified, made white, refined, but the wicked will do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand. But, giant B, giant U, giant T, but the wise will understand. I had the Bible drop on purpose on the air, so don't think that was a mistake.
Is that the equivalent of
that
a mic drop?
That was
Pastor Mark?
I wanted our listeners to hear. Pastor Mark read it, dropped his Bible.
Okay.
Here's the bottom line. Here's the bottom line. What God is saying is this.
Yes.
Technology will increase. All these things are going to happen. You're going to watch it unfold as the world gets ready for this man who claims he's a God coming on the earth, and the believers who know their Bible. Let me say that again. Who know their Bible and prophecy will know it. They'll be ready for it. They'll be watching for it. They'll see it take place. Here's the sad part. The majority of the church will not. You know why? They don't know their Bible anymore. And number two, they don't believe in prophecy. They're not in the Word of God. And they're not. That prophecy is a third of the Bible. And you'd be surprised how many churches never teach prophecy. What they've said is, we don't want that third of Jesus. Jesus said, I'm the Word, okay?
Yeah.
That means he's all of it.
All of
well,
it.
That third of Jesus, whatever that is, we don't want. We only want him from the waist up. We don't want all of him. We don't want the whatever it is you're leaving out,
yeah.
Leave it out.
Yeah.
But the bottom line is, if you take all of Jesus, all 100%, top to bottom, all of his word from Genesis to Revelation, if you believe it literally, you understand it, you see exactly what he said in Daniel happening, technology increasing, exploding in our days, getting ready for this mindset of a God who will stand up there and declare that he's God and put an image of himself on the Temple Mount, the technology to give everyone a mark, to not only know where they are, but what their health is, so that when it comes time for health care or whatever, you'll know who to take care of, who not, you'll know who can do what, who can do not, or not do whatever. And yet, here's the thing. He says, if you know my word and you believe my word, what a blessing, guys. What a gift we have. Think about this. The world is totally blind. And here's the sad part. A big portion of the church is totally blind. He says, but for those who will believe, I've got a special blessing and gift
yes.
for you. Lord, what is it? Look at it. Okay, everybody come in. All right, all the kids. Some of the kids run away. They don't obey. Oh, cute kids, come here. If you just believe what Daddy says,
yeah.
I'm going to tell you things the rest of the kids don't know. They ran out to play.
Yeah.
You're not playing. I'm going to tell you something. This is awesome.
Yeah.
You're
going to
know what's going on. They're not. And I got a big surprise for you. Thank you, Dad.
That's
See, this
great.
Is what we have as believers. Isn't that awesome?
That is awesome.
Ah, the dreaded music.
All right.
I got
yes,
it all
the,
in, though.
You got it all
I
in.
I got
all
it
right.
all in.
Well, Pastor Mark's going to go get some coffee so he can wake up. And we'll be back with Articles of Interest as Signs of the Times continues on WIAM.
WIAM LP
101.1 FM, Knoxville.
From the headquarters of the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews in Jerusalem, this is Israel in the News. I'm Bob Sauer. Last week, the Trump administration launched a raid against former ISIS leader Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi at his underground compound in Syria. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, speaking on The Story with Martha McCallum, talks about the U.S.'s overall objective in conducting the raid.
We were very focused on one singular outcome, which was to make sure that we got this bad guy and took him off the face of the planet. We did that. We made sure we had the right security procedures in place so that the story wouldn't leak, that the facts wouldn't get around. We had American lives that would be a risk, and we'd lose the opportunity to take Baghdadi from the battlefield. Yeah. We did that. I'm proud of that.
The U.S. released drone footage of the raid to the press on Wednesday. The Gaza Strip has become a major source of rocket production in recent years by Iranian terror groups working against Israel. The Palestinian Islamic Jihad, an Iranian-backed terror organization, has attempted to do the same in the West Bank. JNS News reports that nightly counterterrorism raids, in addition to heightened Israeli intelligence, have kept terrorist groups at bay. The results of the September 17th Israeli elections are still undecided. Following talks of forming a unity government between the blue and white and Likud parties, the Jerusalem Post reports that negotiations have once again hit a standstill. Blue and white party leader Benny Gantz has less than 3 weeks to form a new coalition government before the task is reassigned to the Knesset. The German government is being criticized by the Trump administration for downplaying the Iranian threats to destroy Israel. Speaking to Fox News on Tuesday, U.S. Ambassador to Germany, Richard Grenell, called for immediate action, saying, quote, "Threatening the destruction of Israel is something that should not be dismissed." German Chancellor Angela Merkel's cabinet then responded by passing new measures on Wednesday to combat anti-Semitism, announcing that it will also boost funding for projects geared toward reducing Jewish hatred in the region. The United States and Israel are spearheading efforts to increase oversight of the United Nations Relief and Works Agency, or UNRWA. Israeli ambassador to the UN, Danny Danon, told the Jerusalem Post on Wednesday, quote, "UNRWA utilizes the world's funds for disseminating lies and false narratives against the State of Israel and systematically ignores fulfilling the goal for which it was established. Until the UNRWA gates are permanently closed, we will work with all the tools at our disposal to increase oversight." This has been Israel in the News, a weekly news summary presented by the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews. Learn how you can help needy Jews start a new life in the Holy Land by visiting israelinthenews.org. That's israelinthenews.org. I'm Bob Sauer.
Signs of the Times now continues. Here again is your host.
Welcome back to the second half of Signs of the Times, our weekly look at Bible prophecy in the world's news for Friday, November 1st, 2019. Along with Pastor Mark Kirk, I'm Greg Hill. Thanks for staying with us, folks. Don't forget our website as well. It's thesigns.org for everything about our program, including sending Pastor Mark your prophecy questions. Maybe you're seeing strange things in the news, like what we've been talking about in the first half hour, and you want to know if God's Word has anything to say about it. Probably does, and we would be more than happy to answer that on the air with you. Now, before we get into our articles for this half hour, Pastor Mark has something to follow up on the Apple Watch. And by the way, you own no smartwatch at all.
That's right, I don't.
But you own lots of Apple products.
Oh, yeah, I do. I'm linked
in. So the government already knows.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah.
It's a done deal.
I'm still at the point, though, where they don't have all my health information. They don't have all that, whatever. Those of you that are doing the health stuff on the watch, you're nailed.
Okay.
So I can still get medical care. Anyway, I'm just kidding.
All right.
One of the things that's amazing about, and this lady that was sharing, it was Fox News this morning. If you guys want to look it up, you can go to Fox News. We don't have an article for it, but look up Fox News talking about Apple Watch and all, and I'm sure you can find it in videos, probably on Fox News website, whatever. But it was this morning as I was listening to Fox News. I don't know if she was a tech person or just a reporter telling about it, but she said something astounding to me. She said, the technology is such now that if you have your Apple Watch on your hand and you're typing, they know what you're typing. The Apple Watch can pick up, that was a T, that was a Y, that was you, they know where your hands are, so they can say, they know what you're typing to your friends, what you're putting on your email, they know what your passwords are.
See, I would be very interested to understand
how that happens.
Me too. But then she said this, don't worry, your average hacker could never do this. She
your
said,
average
this is,
hacker.
She used, I think the terminology she used was, this is second level hacking or whatever. I'm thinking,
do you know
okay, how, do you know how many second level hackers are out there? Do you know how many people work for the
government?
Are
living in their parents' basements?
Listen to me.
Working on this?
Listen, right now, there are people that work for the government. Their full job is to be top level hackers. And if they want information on you, they will get it. If they want information on anyone, they will get it. Now, again, how that works, I don't know, but it astounded me. And I would assume she wouldn't just throw that information out there on Fox News if she didn't have some backing for it. So that's why I felt bold to share that. But the point is, you know, our lives, there is no more privacy. By the way, you know, you've got your little speakers in your house, you know, that do Alexa or whatever. I mean, they're
oh, that's a, yeah.
They're always listening. If your mic's on, they're always listening. You can
right.
turn the mic off.
Yes.
But the advantage to the mic is, you know, Alexa, you know.
Instead of walking up to it and turning the mic
yeah,
on.
Yeah, you just say, Alexa, yeah. let me hear WIM. You know, Alexa, I want to hear Signs
yeah,
of the Times.
Which you can do, by the
right,
way.
Right, you can do that. And
yes.
Greg tells us you can go do
yes.
that. And so you want to do that. But now I shut all that off because somebody told me it was recording in the house, and I'm like, oh, yeah. Well, then they get Fox News again. Then they gave the website. I go on the website. I'm listening to conversations of my family in my home on the internet. Anybody could go and hear it, anybody. And I was like, okay, microphone off, and I still use it with the phone, and we have play music and all that, but the microphone's off. Now, here's the crazy thing. They have the ability to turn it on and leave the light off that shows that it's on if they want to hear. Now, you have to get permission. So, you have to get permission from a FISA court, and you know those are, you can't get that. That's almost impossible.
No, it's not.
That's my joke.
Okay.
The point is, FISA abuses are one of the major issues we have in our nation right now. The point is, the government, if you have those in your home, they can hear you. Apple can hear you. They can know what you're typing. They know your heart rate. Like I said, this is like Santa Claus in reverse. You know, they're not there to give you something. They're there to take it away, right? And this is not, you know, conspiracy stuff. This is mainline news. Anybody can look it up. It's happening. And again, my point was simply to bring all that up, and I want to get into articles now, but my point to kind of recap on that and bring all that up is, this is exactly what the Antichrist needs to be able to know and control the entire world from one location and do it all and present himself as a god. You know, one other note I bring up is, you know, Caleb's here in the studio with me, and he was sharing, he's a friend of ours, and he was sharing about the Iron Man movies because I hadn't seen them. And he's, as he said this, it occurred to me, though, in the Marvel movies, he's the only one that's not the supernatural human, superhuman. They're real superhumans that are supposed to be gods from other, you know, other abilities, other planets, other places. He made himself a superhuman by his outfit, by his suit, and by his technology, and he's kind of the mediator with all these superhumans. You know, it's like it shows that he can become that way too by all this technology. And again, the mindset's what I'm getting at.
Yeah.
The mindset is in place. And so, you know, again, if this is exciting, not in where the world's going, but it's exciting because God's showing us what's going on.
Well, here's how I think that will be used to further prophecy.
Okay.
Just with what you described right there,
right,
will make not only accepting,
yeah,
but desiring the implantation of a technology chip into your body that much more desirable.
There you go.
It might not be the full armor suit of Iron Man. Hey, but if I can get the tech in me like Iron Man has the tech,
yeah,
wow.
Yeah.
I'm
see,
there.
See, right now, this you're a modern Marvel. You're Sot Man.
Yes.
Sot Man.
Sign
of the Times. Sot Man. I'm going to get a theme. I almost said Sot Man. That's been taken.
Yeah.
We'll come up with one.
Okay.
Well, you going to be Sot Man?
Sot Man's going to move on
all
to
right,
articles.
All right. We're having fun today. It's okay to have fun. We still get the work done. We're getting the work done. That's what matters, right? We're getting the work done.
And anyway, if somebody has some coffee for Pastor Mark, please pass it on. Okay. TimesOfIsrael.com. This is dated October 29th. Israeli embassy said to ramp up security amid fears of an Iranian attack.
Yeah. We're just watching this thing continue to heat up. Ezekiel 38:39 with Iran, Russia, etc. Heightened security measures come amid growing concern in Jerusalem that Tehran is plotting strikes in retaliation for raids on its regional proxies. Now, this gets interesting here. That's why I included it. We know that there's the Ezekiel 38 and 39 continuing to heat up in this oncoming battle with Russia and Iran. But listen to what it says. Israeli embassies have reportedly stepped up security and preparedness amid growing fears in Jerusalem that Iran was readying to launch a military strike. A report by the Khan public broadcaster Monday said, and get this, that Tehran has been emboldened by its devastating attack in Saudi Arabia oil installations last month when no one did anything.
Yeah.
Think about that.
I know.
They had zero consequences.
Yep, zero.
As far as military retaliation.
Yes.
Now maybe something went on behind the scenes.
Who knows?
You know, yeah. Maybe Iron Man cut their wires or something, but we don't know of anything that happened.
Right.
The
right.
bottom line
yeah.
is I said that now because of that, Iran and I quote are more aggressive and creative than before, and they might try to choose to target outside of Israel. That's something to do with Israel, but outside. It says the report said several diplomatic missions have been placed on high alert and have been instructed to take certain security precautions. My point is this. He's exactly right. Here's how it works in the Middle East. Guys, in America, here's how we do it. We talk things out. We reason. We come to an agreement, and it works great. In the Middle East, it's all by power. It's all by power. If you don't show strength, you better
yeah,
show strength. If you
right.
don't show strength, they're coming at you.
Yeah, don't blink.
They're coming at you. So here's what happened. They attack Saudi. No strength shown. You know what that means? We're the strong ones.
Yep.
We're going to now be the ones, and we're going to do this again. And you know what? If Saudi Arabia didn't do anything to us, then now we're going to attack Israel, et cetera. And so, you know, interesting because you're watching this whole thing just happen. And yeah, I mean, God's going to wipe them out, but you can see how they would be emboldened to think they could move.
Yeah.
And speaking of being emboldened, in Ezekiel 38 and 39 news, Times of Israel reporting as the U.S. withdraws, not the U.F., but the U.S. withdraws. I almost did that.
That's all right.
Jerusalem is spooked by Moscow's growing control over the Middle East.
Now that headline
just
alone.
Just as the Bible said
that
they
headline
would.
Exactly.
Yes.
That headline alone should make every prophecy student go, oh my goodness.
Yes.
Now here again, I want to bring up something we brought from the first half.
Okay.
If you don't know prophecy, what does that make you do? Oh, that's an interesting article.
Yeah, exactly.
If you know prophecy, what do you go? Oh my goodness. See, your eyes are open.
God was right.
I love it. Russia is becoming the last global military engaged in the region. Many analysts warn of great dangers for Israel, though one also sees opportunities. U.S. President Trump's newly announced withdrawal of nearly all U.S. troops from northern Syria has cemented Russia's status as the predominant global military power actively engaged in the Middle East. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. This week, Russian troops arrived at military bases in northern Syria that the American army had hastily left just days earlier in what was regarded as both literal and figurative handover of regional hegemony. Many officials in Jerusalem are deeply worried about being abandoned by their superpower ally. As the American decision to gradually disengage from this part of the world, which started under former President Barack Obama, threatens to embolden Israel's enemies, Iran and its allies and proxies in Lebanon, Syria, Gaza, and elsewhere. What does Russia's takeover really mean? And this is the last portion. Some analysts are deeply concerned, fretting about the possibility that Moscow could use surface-to-air missiles against Israeli jets attacking Iranian targets in Syria, which would effectively end Jerusalem's campaign against Tehran's establishment of a military foothold near Israel's border. In other words, Russia can stop Israel now from stopping Iran from getting entrenched. But what they don't know and what we know is it also is further entrenching Russia to be able to move with Iran against the nation of Israel to try to destroy them, Ezekiel 38 and 39.
You know, and what a micro shot of this program, Signs of the Times. The Bible said that Russia and Iran are going to unite with other countries and they're going to attempt to invade Israel.
Yeah.
And so we know it's going to happen.
Yep.
But the show just simply chronicles how.
Yeah.
Well, here's how.
Exactly.
Here's how. A U.S. president that Israel thinks is their best friend ever.
Right.
Since 1948.
Yeah, BFF.
BFF.
Yeah.
Why? Because he said Jerusalem should be the capital. They're naming roads and bridges and minting coins with his face. They are going crazy over there for President Trump.
Yeah.
And he makes what seems to be a very minor military move of moving a few hundred troops out of Syria that creates the prophetic vacuum for Ezekiel to become even further solidified.
There it is. It sucked
it's
it
amazing.
In. It's Magog. It's the region of Magog.
Yes.
And now Magog, what it's done is it has removed any opposition. It's created a land border that can come right from Iran right to Israel.
Yeah.
It is unified Gog, which is Russia, the leadership there to Magog, which is that region. And they're Gog and Magog will come against Israel gathered there in the last days. I mean, it's we're watching it happen.
Yeah. And it further emboldens our next topic.
Yeah.
Which is anti-Semitism.
Yep.
And you heard a little bit about it on Israel News, if you were listening, where Germany's taking some actions against that. But
right.
I think it's all on paper. The Daily Caller is saying that an Israeli government report is finding that the BDS movement is using Holocaust inversion to delegitimize Israel. Please
Amazing.
Explain that.
Yeah, and of course, this is the boycott
thing. This is very interesting.
It is, and but I was thinking about, you know, this, Craig, I think God had this in my heart even before this article, and so we go from BFF to BDS, but
yes.
The Boycott, Divestment, Sanctions is what it stands for. Movement campaigns to undermine Israel through Holocaust inversion, according to a report by the State of Israel's Ministry of Strategic Affairs and Public Diplomacy, and they're exactly right. The report found that BDS portrays Jews and Israel as Nazis. In other words, they're making the Jews now the Nazis. They're inverting.
Gotcha.
So the Jews are now the bad guys. They're the Nazis
okay.
in order to create an inverted reality of where Israel and Nazis and Palestinians are the new Jews. Now, Greg, remember what Satan does.
Yes.
And I was thinking about this before this article. He takes all the wicked, puts them together where they're in agreement, and then they, from that position of their wickedness, say that everyone else is the wicked one.
Yes.
Now, remember one of your favorite verses.
Isaiah 5:20.
There
Isaiah
is. And what is that? What is that?
Woe to those who call evil good and good evil.
Bingo. Satan inverts. He reverses, okay? That's what he does. And so he's basically, the Jews have been the ones persecuted. They've been the ones that have been attacked. Now he's making it look like they're the ones that are doing the attacking. They're the ones that are the problem. They're the bad guy. So the rest of the world can righteously gather against them and fight against them. It says the report warned that the BDS movement's anti-Semitic discourse and messaging may lead to violence. Well, it will lead. Again, it campaigns to delegitimize Israel through against Holocaust inversion, according to the September Israeli government report. The report put together by the State of Israel's Ministry of Strategic Affairs and Public Diplomacy found the BDS movement attempts to undermine the legitimacy of the State of Israel through anti-Semitic messaging. And we have another article that goes with this,
yes,
including images and rhetoric. The movement describes itself as, and I quote, Palestinian-led movement for freedom, justice, and equality, and upholds the simple principle that Palestinians are entitled to the same rights as the rest of humanity. Now, they present this. That sounds great. But this is a lie. This is not what they're doing. They're not saying they want the same rights. They're saying they want them to destroy the Jews. They want to turn everything over to the Jewish people. It's almost like the Affordable Care Act. It's anything but affordable. What people do is they take something and they put a name on it so that it's palatable to the ear.
Yes.
But the reality is it is not what it is at all. And that's exactly what the enemy's doing here.
Yeah.
Says the movement's relentless attacks and attempts to stigmatize and delegitimize the State of Israel, Zionism, the movement for Jewish self-determination, again, as a nation, which brought about the state, and those Jews and non-Jews who support it, that would be us, invariably contribute to the overall global surge in anti-Semitism and to the current climate which Jews around the world feel increasingly at risk. It says they intentionally use Holocaust inversion, again, showing the Jews and Israels as the Nazis, and again, everybody else as the good guy, in order to turn public opinion. One such example shows an image of a BDS, a Boycott France activist, posted on Facebook in August. A doctored image of a young woman compares Israel Defense Force soldiers to Nazis, with a comment that says this, the Nazis and Zionists are two sides of the same coin. You could not tell a more abrupt and direct lie. And again, you see the hand and the voice of the enemy.
Be more offensive.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Says from the outset, the idea that BDS and the aim of its leaders has been the destruction of Israel. Natan Sharansky, a former prisoner of Zion who spent 9 years in Soviet jails, wrote in the report's foreword. Sharansky formerly served as Israel's minister for the diaspora, that is those who are spread around the world, and deputy prime minister. So here's the bottom line. Now they're literally going to try to change reality by presenting a direct lie to what reality is. And again, as Hitler said, the more you hear a lie, the more you begin to believe it. So you see these same tactics that Satan uses over and over to get his agenda done, because basically we as people are too dumb to figure it out.
Yeah.
I mean, we just really are. The demonic realm and the heavenly realm is way smarter than we are. And they use their intelligence against us and we fall for it.
Yeah.
But God, again, for those who believe his word and know his word, he shows us. And not because we're smart, but because we believe our dad, we know what's going on.
Yeah. All right, our next article, Pastor Mark, dated October 29th from ChristianHeadlines.com. Norway's capital is banning goods made in what they're calling Israeli settlement territory.
All right, now this goes right in line with the BDS. This is the boycott thing. So what they're doing is, and let me give, before I even read some of this, I want our listeners to know the premise and foundation here. They're saying, if we buy these goods that Israel's producing, because Israel is blooming and they're producing a great fruit for the world and for themselves, if we buy their products and goods in what the world calls the territories, the disputed lands, by the way, the Bible says that's not disputed at all.
It's not disputed.
God says, I gave it to the Jews.
Yeah.
But Satan and the world isn't going to buy that. So they call it disputed, West Bank, whatever you want to call it. If we buy their goods, we're helping them to thrive in their illegality of being in those territories. So if you're going to buy those goods, we're going to make you mark it so we know this is coming from a place you shouldn't be. You're growing these tomatoes in somebody else's backyard, and you have no right to be growing those tomatoes in somebody else's backyard. So we're not going to buy your tomatoes. We're going to buy these guys' tomatoes because he grew it in his own yard. Yeah. That's what this is all about.
Well, and not only that, they are also kind of like biting the hand that feeds it, so to speak, in the fact that these companies that exist in Israel are employing, and it would be really good to see the numbers because I know it's quite plenty.
Right.
They're employing a lot of non-Jewish Arabs.
Yeah.
They may or may not be Israeli citizens.
Oh, yeah.
But Israel gives work visas or passes for Arab people to come in, or Palestinian people, whatever
That's
you
right.
want to say, to come in from the Gaza Strip or the West Bank, to come in and work to help, you know, take care of their families.
Yeah.
And if they're going to attack the companies, they're attacking those very people.
They are. The Arab Jews love what the love what the Jews are doing for them.
The Arab Israelis.
They love what the Jews are doing for them because they're giving them jobs and giving them work. But listen to this. I'm not shopping at Norway anymore. I'm going to stick around here at Kroger and all these. The City Council of Oslo, Norway's capital, has agreed to ban all services and products made in Israel's settlement communities. And I quote, the Palestinian people, here's what they're saying, who have to deal with the illegal occupation. There it is. God didn't give them that land. They don't deserve to be there.
Mm-hmm.
So what they're saying is God was wrong, we're right. And because God was wrong, we're right. It's an illegal occupation of their territory, and they're doing it every single day. These Palestinians deserve international attention and support, said Suvina Eisvoll, leader of the Oslo chapter of the Socialist Left Party. Again, you're going to see more and more of this socialism rising and rising. And the amazing thing about it is they don't, you know, I won't get off on that.
It's the marketing arm for communism.
It's a shared global responsibility, she says, to help ensure that human rights and the international law are not violated. I am proud that the Oslo City Council is now taking steps to prevent goods and services purchased by the city from supporting an illegal occupation of Palestine and other territories. Again, this is just an ignorance saying that somehow Israel shouldn't be there. You know, they don't belong to be there. Yeah. When she was asked, what is the capital of Jerusalem? She said, J. I'm kidding. I made that up. But anyway, they don't know what they're talking about. They just don't even know.
They need to read the Bible.
I'm sorry. I had to make a bad joke here because this kind of stuff drives me crazy. And again, here's what the Bible says for our listeners.
Okay.
God gave them this land. It is not occupied by anybody but the people God wanted to be there. And by the way, they don't have all the land yet. They're going to have. They're going to have a lot more land very soon.
Right.
When Jesus comes back in the second coming, the whole region is going to be theirs. And so the boundaries are going to expand greatly. Iran would be the East Bank. If you want to talk about, you know, the what the banks are or whatever, Iran would be the East Bank. It's going to go all the way to Iran, to Iraq, all the way down to Egypt. Anyway.
Okay.
Just be watching for this kind of stuff. You're going to see more and more opposition. As the Bible tells us in Zechariah, the whole world will turn against the nation of Israel.
Yep. If you can do me a favor, try to stay awake. So we're almost done with the program.
I can do it. I can do it. A little drowsy.
Okay.
I don't know why I'm so energetic today. I'm sorry.
You're okay.
I hope our listeners can keep up. Here's the good thing. You can go back and hear the podcast.
Yes. Yes, you can.
Yeah.
And enjoy it again.
That's right.
Okay, so I'm going to combine these two articles together, and you can talk about them, because they really kind of go hand in hand with pestilence, plagues, disasters, and heavy on the corruption.
Yeah.
Okay, because this is really highlighting how when man tries to govern himself and not govern the way that God says to. CNN and Fox News both talking about the California fires. The CNN article saying a new California wildfire burning in L.A. as many face days without power. This is dated October 29th, a couple days old, but still fires are raging there.
Yes.
Fox News talking about how the reigning political party in California has turned California into a problem-plagued burning nightmare, yeah, which talks about other ancillary problems in the state of California. And really, it doesn't matter what political party is in power. If you are getting away from God, then you're going to get what Pastor Mark's going to talk about.
Yeah, I mean, the bottom line is you're seeing a lot of problems in California, and there's not really so much, Greg, in the sense of just California prophetically. That's not why I wanted to leave this article in here. I wanted to leave this article in here because I think you're seeing a small microcosm of what happens when an area or territory rejects God.
Yes.
God leaves them to themselves.
Yes.
And they make foolish decisions. They can't govern themselves. Like you said, because of their policies, they can't clear out their forests. You're not allowed to clear out. You're not allowed to do any controlled burns.
Yeah.
And so the problem is, when God's design comes in to clear an area and there's lightning strike or there's whatever, you've got fires all over the place. Or if there's a man-made thing where there's a spark because they're not allowing it to be taken care of the way that they should because of all their regulations. Now, again, to me, it's a microcosm of what the world's going to be like. California is like a small little snapshot of the beginning of just socialism gone wild and what the world's going to be like during the Great Tribulation. And in the Great Tribulation, it says that there will be fires, wildfires that will burn like the largest portions on the earth will be burned by fires. And again, what's interesting in that article, again, we don't know all the, I mean, God's going to do it. We know that.
Yeah.
But it says that the winds are the problem. The winds are stirring up and blowing these things at amazing speed. You know, I was in California a week ago, and we went up on this ridge there in the Joshua Tree National Park to look at the San Andreas Fault. And all of a sudden, the winds, it was right before these fires broke out. They were breaking out about the same time. It was incredible. And I thought, this must be normal. We're up on a high point. It was blowing so hard. It was like moving my body. I was having to position myself, wow, to keep from being blown. It was that hard. So I don't know how much it takes to yeah, make you move that way, yeah, by, yeah, wind, yeah, but it was hard.
That's a lot. Yeah.
And the guy that I was with was from California, and he was like, this is odd. This is I've never seen it do this here before. I'm thinking this is probably normal. He said, no, this isn't. Well, then all the fires, and you see all the destruction and the wind. You know, I'm not saying God's doing it. I'm not saying God isn't. I'm not saying the enemy's doing it. I don't know what's going on. But here's the bottom line. We know that in the last days, fires are going to devour the majority of the earth. It's trees. It's green. You think, how in the world could that happen?
Right.
The winds. The winds. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that the angels will be holding back the winds. And then when God gives them the word in Revelation, God will release the angels to let the wind blow once again how he wants it to blow. God uses even the wind in his righteous
judgment,
yeah,
chastisement.
Well, I stayed away from the word judgment because I don't know that God's judging California.
Oh,
he might be,
yeah,
but in his righteous decision making,
okay,
wind is used, and God uses angels sometimes to hold it back or release it. And we're going to see the angels again. I believe the winds are going to be a big part of what destroys the earth. I think you're seeing a little microcosm of how quickly the power of wind and what God uses can destroy a region and, if need be, unearth.
Yeah, they were calling it hurricane forced.
Yeah, I believe that.
Hurricane forced.
I believe that.
Winds,
it felt,
yeah,
definitely like tropical storm type stuff.
Yeah.
And so it was close.
Yeah. Well, let's end with some good news,
yeah,
shall we?
This is good. This is good.
This is from WesternJournal.com, dated October 29th. A little boy asks police officers at Chick-fil-A if he can pray over them.
I think that's great.
That's great.
Yeah, because I know that when I get pulled over, I pray a lot with police. They don't know I'm praying. But anyway, this little boy, they knew it. A thoughtful gesture of a young boy from Texas and swarming hearts across the world after a photo of him praying for police officers at a local Chick-fil-A was posted on Facebook. Kimberly Clark Stone captured the moment at the Chick-fil-A in Burleson, Texas on Thursday. The officer Arusso and Officer Dyke, I don't know how to say his name, Officer Lyman were on the line behind Stone when a boy, 7-year-old Wyatt, asked if he could pray for them. Right when they got in line, the little boy pictured in the article, which you can't see, ran up to them and asked if he could pray over them, and he prayed with them, and it was just this beautiful gesture. Here's the thing. It was a witness to those police officers.
Yeah.
It was a blessing to them. It was a witness to the people in Chick-fil-A. The last part of this verse, it says this,
article.
Paragraph, yeah.
Yeah.
This sweet boy let his light shine that day, and it was the most beautiful, blinding light I've ever seen. Thank you doesn't even touch my gratitude for him. So the way the police felt, the way the people felt, guys, listen, you never know. A simple prayer and a Chick-fil-A, a simple prayer, a simple gesture of love that Jesus loves you and that we care about you can change a person's life. Who knows? Maybe one of these police officers will come to Christ through Wyatt's testimony. So what a great way to encourage and see God still working in the midst of the stuff we're having to expose on Signs of the Times.
And a good reminder to pray for those that are in authority.
That's right.
So
anyway. That's right.
All right. Well, that was the warm-up. Pastor Mark will be back for the live show later on. All right, folks. Thanks for joining us. Don't forget the signs.org, the articles, the shows, everything on our website. We'll see you next Friday at 1:30.